Well, hello again, listeners to WCGA, wonderful Coastal Georgia on AM 1100. This is Woody, no matter what I sound like. If you think it's Marshall Wood, it's really Woody. And we're pleased on this Saturday, the 20th May, to be able to present to you the second of the programs that we'll be doing for the next 9 or so weeks, entitled The Bigger Picture, Blending or Uniting True Faith with Right Political Action. And today, as I teased several weeks ago, we're going to walk into a swampy quagmire. And I have a good man in the studio with me to pull me out of the quagmire in case we fall in too deeply. But he is a respected gentleman that I will introduce to you shortly. But what he represents today is the generation that's making things happen in America. Old guys like me, 74 years old, we're sort of going out to pasture. We might want to, they'll have to put us out kicking and screaming, but we're heading out to pasture. But the guys in their 40s and 50s are now assuming their places of leadership in this country. And many of those assuming their positions of leadership in this country, well, they're finding it a little bit difficult because of some social issues that exist in America. And we're going to talk about those things. The gentleman sitting to my right here in the studio is a businessman. He is a father. He is a husband. But he is really prototypical of what a good American is. He's seeped in the old traditional values that makes him a little bit out of step with some of his generation. But we're going to pick his brain today in a controversial area because, as this gentleman sitting to my right is, well, he's a white guy, and I'm white too. And if you stick around the popular culture long enough, you'll understand that we just aren't really well-liked anymore, and our opinions are often, well, pushed to the side as if they don't matter. Yet the tragic truth is the younger man sitting to my right represents what has been the backbone of this country. And you've heard me say before, there are three things alone that give stability to a culture or a nation. And that's true historically. And the first is a true faith, a belief in an Almighty. And for America, it's the Almighty, the only one, the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Elohim, Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit. But the first element of any successful culture is an enduring faith. And then secondly, it is a traditional family, one man and one woman joined together for a physical lifetime, reproducing physically and spiritually as often as God gives them the opportunity across the ages, until we stand at a particular event described in Revelation 20:10. But for now, it's just we'll concentrate on the portion that says family. Family's important. Faith, family, and lastly, what a man does to feed his family unhindered by government. And that's called free enterprise. Mess with any of those three, and as the Soviet Union found out, you know, well-publicized book in the 50s, Rush, Its Hopes and Fears, the culture becomes stressed and collapses, as I witnessed from my office at Andrews Air Force Base in the late 80s and early 90s, as the Soviet Union dissolved, because it was functioning in direct opposition to those processes that God has ordained exist to make a nation or a group of people or an individual family successful by following his word. So today, I'm going to be talking to a man whose name is Michael Marion. I'm going to tell you the rest of his story in future programs, but today he's going to represent the perceptions of white males who are successful in their families and in their businesses and in their churches, the backbone of America, as to what he sees going on in the racial There's a quagmire, the word I used earlier, that America has become. And I'm going to ask him a few questions, and we're going to get through this somehow. We're not going to be the enemy of our black brothers and sisters that may be listening, but we need to understand that the two men that sit behind these microphones today know that our group of people has been disenfranchised, in many cases, marginalized in a world that needs our leadership and our insight. And we're going to cite some facts and things today that we need to think about. I've been called racist and all these other things by a lot of people, but many times they're just simply virtue signaling and speaking out of an ignorance that is being, well, used by folks who look like me at a higher level. So we have two enemies in this world. You know, Jesus said, be kind to your enemies and love those who love you and do good. But then there are other places in the Bible where Jesus said in the imprecatory Psalms, Father, do to them that they're doing to me. And in the 139th Psalm, the psalmist David says, do I not hate those that hate you? So we have this odd dichotomy, love your enemies, don't love your enemies. We have to decide what an enemy is. And the very first definition of an enemy is the intentional enemy. And that's the one that really has grown out of Western civilization, because Satan, according to 1 John 5:19, is in charge of this culture that we're in. We're of God, but the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. And folks who look like me have been in the highest positions, have directed the culture for 300-something years here in America. And though we have done some wonderful things, the Christian element has done some fabulous things by the grace of God, there's another element, listening to the voice of Satan, that's done some not-so-good things. And so I believe that those people are the intentional agents of Satan for whom the imprecatory Psalms apply. Do I not hate those who hate you? And I often think that they're like the brute beast created for destruction of the book of Job. So I understand that people who look like me have been part of the problem. However, that's a big however, there's another enemy that, because of preoccupation with other things, such as the culture they live in, or because of ignorance of some important facts, they are opposed to those who are actually tasked with pushing the culture forward to a good end, and they become the enemy of progress and eventually the agents of destruction according to the lessons of history. But those are the people, the unintentional enemies, circumstantial enemies, and those are the ones that we are to love and to pray for. And that's how I address my brothers and sisters in the black community who look first and foremost at their blackness as the defining element in all that they say and all that they do. Now, let's flip back to the very beginning here, because in every show, I remind you that the man talking to you is just an everyday Joe. I'm not an expert on a lot of things, but uniquely, I have been given by God opportunities to see things and to serve people at the highest levels of our own government, but also of functioning in the world. I've been a fly on the wall. And so I have a lot that is in me and in my head that I probably ought to talk about without having a bunch of letters behind my name. I'm not Dr. Woody, and I'm not a great lecturer. I've written a book, but not much else. And you need to understand that I'm expressing opinion, but the opinions that I'm expressing are based on some pretty amazing personal experiences and a very large library that I have at home of books that I've read by pretty good people that helps me understand where we are. I feel that I have a duty to be a watchman on the wall because I'm a Christian and to give out a warning. And so that's what we're doing in this program today. But I'm speaking educated opinion, and I hope you'll understand that. Now, The man sitting next to me is going to come on the microphone here and introduce himself. So, Mr. Mike, if you'll step up to the microphone, let's tell everybody who you are and, you know, why you're here today.
Well, thank you, Woody. I'm here today to really represent an informed opinion, if you will, of Generation X, which is my generation, referred to culturally, at least, as Generation X. And I'm really looking forward to contributing to your content today, especially on this subject of race relations in America and the impact of race relations on today's culture.
Okay, I'm going to jump in at that point. We've got about a minute before we go to the station break. Let me ask you a question point blank. Mike, is America in trouble?
I believe it is, yes.
And what is the biggest element that you see that's causing our trouble? What is it? What's causing America to be so divided?
Well, in short, it's popular culture to me, today's popular culture, which is largely influenced by some very vile and vulgar elements, many of which are emanating out of the black culture in America.
Entertainment
culture, yeah, absolutely.
Sports,
entertainment, yeah, all facets of it. And hey, even the heads of government, local towns and cities.
Okay, we're going to wade into this in the next segment, so I hope you're going to stick with us. We're not going to pull any punches. We're going to tell it as we see it. So, stay with us. WCGA AM 1100, wonderful coastal Georgia, for what follows. I think you'll enjoy it. Thank you.